Blog Talk. Hello, welcome. You've reached Spiritual Integration Radio, and I am your host, Carrie Alter, broadcasting from San Francisco, California, just north of the Golden Gate Bridge. And the theme of this show, underlying everything we talk about, is how do we stay centered and connected with our divine selves in the face of all the challenges that come up in everyday life, in mundane life, just the small daily things that come up, let alone the big things that come up. Sometimes it's harder to stay centered in face of the small things that come up because we get so caught up in them we don't even realize what's happening, whereas when some really big challenge comes up, it's so obvious there's a big challenge that we can take time and breathe and bring ourselves back home into our body. With the small things, our daily interactions with people and things, we often don't even notice. In fact, it's probably normal to not notice that we've gotten swept off center, out of our connection with our own selves. So I wanted to start by talking about why I started teaching. I do spiritual counseling work, which I call spiritual integration work, because that's the best description that I've been able to come up with so far of what actually happens when we do our work together and what will happen for you as a result of tuning in regularly to these shows, because it's a very subtle movement that takes place. And over time, it has an effect that you don't realize maybe is happening after listening to one show. So I started teaching because my life was kind of a mess, really. I had really low self-esteem, and I was in a marriage that was failing. And then things started to turn around, and my life did turn around, and it got to be quite fabulous. And I looked back, and I went, well, what happened? You know, what really happened? And so by looking at the changes that took place for me and sharing those with everyone, I then have this idea that everyone will be able to relate in some way with their own lives, with the kind of things that happened in my life. And just by hearing what's possible, change happens. So we don't need to fix our lives. We don't need to change our lives. All we need to do is bring awareness to what's really going on in our life. Because normally, our awareness is all in our heads, and we're not in our body, and we're not in our gut, and we're not tuned in to what's really going on for the deepest part of ourselves. Since, as Bruce Lipton says, a cellular biologist, 95% of us is actually the subconscious, and only 5% is run by the conscious mind. You'll hear me say that a lot. It's very hard for us to know what's really going on. And the secret, I find, is to be the observer of yourself. In order to be the observer of yourself, you have to be present enough with yourself to notice what's going on and to remember to be the observer of yourself, because you can only be as good an observer as you are present. And we have all different degrees. Sometimes we're much more present than other times, and sometimes we're a better observer than other times. So it's kind of like the black hole phenomenon, where they know that the black hole is there by watching everything get sucked into this space, and they go, oh, there must be something there that we're going to call a black hole. So you can tell what's going on in your subconscious mind by watching yourself and watching how you react to the circumstances and people in your life, especially when challenges come up. And so The theme of today is going to be, well, the underlying theme is, as I said, always going to be how do we stay connected. But the topic today is you colored glasses, because everyone is looking at their life and seeing the truths, so-called truths of their life, through glasses that are colored with their own perception. And yet we believe that it's the truth, and we'll, you know, fight to defend our position, when in reality we're really just seeing through glasses that are colored with our own beliefs, contractions, personality. They're not usually all that accurate. Let's put it that way. So it's good to take our own beliefs with a little grain of salt. Before I really get going on that, I want to very briefly touch on a couple of things. One is I want to tell you that I am opening a new office, and I'm very excited about it. I've been working out of my home out in the country, which is like heaven where I live, but I've been kind of cocooning out here and feeling a little isolated. So I'm opening an office in town, which is Kentfield. For those of you who are local to the San Francisco Bay Area, I'm in Marin County, and I'll be opening an office in Kentfield, and I'll let you know when I'm going to have my open house. It'll be either the last Sunday in March or the first Sunday in April. I'm still trying to set the date. Very excited about that. I'd love to meet some of you in person if you're local. And the next thing I wanted to do was just review very quickly. Last week we spoke with my friend and colleague, Brenda Galloway, who's a natural board certified naturopath. And she shared with us a fabulous technique. And for those of you who didn't tune in perhaps last week, I wanted to just briefly go over it. If you want it in more detail, you could go back and listen to last week's show. And she spoke about when you're having positive thoughts and some part of your mind is going, I don't think so. You know, so you're saying, for instance, I have all the money I want. And some part of your brain is going, yeah, right. How do you figure that? So how do you quiet that part of the mind that then produces those negative thoughts in response when you're doing your best to have positive thoughts? And she spoke about reaching above your head with your arms and just kind of pulling down through your field while you're saying, I have all the money I want, or whatever your particular affirmation is that you want to make. And you kind of push down and have the imagination, push slowly down and imagine that you're clearing out of your field. And you could also do this without hands if it works for you, but I like using my hands. You're clearing out all that resistance to the positive thought. You're clearing out all those negative thoughts that are not your friends. And so just clearing them out on either side. I'm kind of doing it on the front and the back as well with my hands. I have all the money I want, or whatever thought you'd like to pick. So I just kind of wanted to touch on that and encourage you to go back and listen to last week if you missed it, so that you can get that wonderful technique. And I went around the whole next day using it with my health, and my health was fabulous that day. So I did want to review that before I go back to talking about the you-colored glasses. So when we talk about you-colored glasses, let me start with what do we really mean when we're talking about staying centered and connected with your divine self? And I've probably brushed on this in the past, but it bears repeating. When we take things personally, it throws us off center. So what does that mean? First of all, staying centered is when we really feel like everything's aligned, we feel peaceful inside and calm, and things just click, like life just seems to go in with ease, smoothly, and things we want to have happen just seem to happen without us having to be the one pulling the strings. That's how we can tell we're centered and connected with our divine self. And once we have to ask, am I connected? Then we know that we're not connected. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be asking. So taking things personally throws us off center. What does it mean to take things personally? Well, when you're taking things personally, it means that you think there's a person there. So another supposition that we can make in this show, and you don't have to believe this, but if you just kind of view your life through this particular lens and see how it works, I think you will find that this works quite well. We don't care whether anybody believes anything or not. Beliefs are really just a contraction. So if you act as if there's not really anybody here, but there's a soul that's having an experience here on the planet through a personality, and the personality and the body are the vehicles through which this soul is having this experience. They can produce in the laboratory by touching different areas of your brain with a little electrode or however they do it. They can produce feelings, every kind of feeling that you could possibly think a human being can have. They can make you feel that you're touching something solid when in fact you're not. And so many physicists are saying that there actually is nothing here, and this is all an illusion. And you can do your own checking out of quantum physics to find out about that, so I don't really want to get into it, but let's just act as if we are taking that as a truth and consider, if that's the truth, then it's really the personality that's having the experience, and the soul is just kind of along for the ride, experiencing what's going on in the personality. When you're really connected, with your divine self, and when you're centered, it means that you're in touch with your true self, with your soul essence, and that's the part of you that, when you die, it's the part of you that goes back home to where it was before it came here and put on a body to have this experience here on the planet. The more you operate from life in the personality, the more things will not work well for you. That's just a fact. The more things will not work well for you, the more you will come up against challenges. Or, if you keep your life very superficial, the less fulfilling your life will be. You may not have as many challenges as somebody would who's trying, doing a lot of trying, but your life will be very superficial, which means that you're not having that depth of heart, that really, and soul connection with other souls who are here incarnated, that really makes life worth living, that really brings the excitement and joy and depth to life. So what we want to do is just sort of back off a little bit from the personality and, again, be the observer of self. So observing the personality as if we're at a movie theater, watching a character in a movie. But it's very tricky because if you step too far back, then you're separating from this part of yourself that really is part of yourself, this personality, this yourself while you're here. So you want to step back just far enough to be the observer and to notice what's going on, but you want to allow yourself to experience everything that the personality is experiencing. You just don't want to take it so seriously. And maybe you've seen that wall plaque that says angels can fly because they take themselves lightly. And when we take ourselves lightly, then everything works much better. What does it mean to take ourselves lightly? Well, the mind has a lot of things that it has to say. It has things to say about, you know, why things aren't working out well. Oh, how could you have done that again? And you'll never be able to have the relationship you want, or the job you want, or the money you want, or whatever, maybe you had a parent who, you know, told you that you would never be a success, or whatever, or maybe you developed that idea because you had difficulty in school, or in some way, part of your challenge here on this planet is whatever your mind is feeding you, whatever thoughts your mind is telling you in the recording of the back of your head. So, do you believe that? Do you believe those thoughts? So, if you take a step back and you're the observer of yourself, you can watch the mind producing those thoughts. So it's like, okay, who's watching? Well, you're the one who's watching. If you're the one who's watching, then who's having those thoughts? It's like that's some other part. It's not really the basic, essential you. And so then you have a choice. Do you want to believe those thoughts? Or do you want to just say, okay, those are the thoughts that are coming. Those are the thoughts. And it's through those thoughts that you will filter everything that happens in life. So if you're believing those thoughts, and if you believe, let's just take one for instance, I'll never be good enough. That's a lot of people have that one. So except for the people who have I'm too much, you know, those are sort of two sides of the same coin. So say you have I'll never be good, and often we have both of those at different times. So say you have I'll never be good enough. And then somebody comes along who's in a bad mood, and they say, well, what'd you do that for? You should have done it this other way. And then right away the mind would spring up with, you'll never be good enough. So if you believe in your mind, you're totally caught. It's like ruins the rest of your day because this person said that. But if you're the observer of yourself, then you go, oh, there's that thought again. I've seen that thought a lot of times. I know that, recognize that thought. And you go, you know, that's just a familiar thought responding to what this person said. That person's just having a bad day. I don't have to take it personally. I don't have to think that this is about me. Because the truth is that anything that anybody tells you about you, they're seeing through their colored glasses. So they're seeing it through their own filter. So someone who is very seriously not feeling good about themselves, when they look at you, they're going to find all kinds of things to not feel good about and all kinds of reasons why they think you shouldn't feel good. Because they're seeing through their own not good enough filter. You have a choice. You don't have to take on what they're saying emotionally. However, if you're not being the observer of self, you'll have taken it on before you even realize that you took it on. And you don't even know why you suddenly find yourself snapping at somebody else who comes in, you know, to the room, and all of a sudden you go, well, don't put that there. It belongs over here, or whatever. So when we're not being the observer of ourselves, we get caught and we pass that energy from person to person to person. When you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. We want them not to look at us that way. We want to keep our own selves clear so that we're staying centered, so we can see, yes, be the observer of yourself, and you can see and don't need to get engaged. If you're not being the observer of self, like I said, you will be already engaged with that dynamic, with that those negative feelings before you even realize what has happened. And next thing you know, you'll turn around and knock over the box of paper clips. It's just how it works, because the energy will attract that other energy. I find I need to be relentless with myself, relentlessly being the observer of myself, because there's like a sucky quality to the constant recording that's in the brain that you've been hearing your whole life, and it will pull you back again and again and again. The thing that's wonderful, and I always tell everybody, please, please, anything that you click with that we talk about here on the show, please share this with your friends. Discuss it with your friends. Because the more you talk about these kinds of things, the more you anchor it into your own self. You have so many experiences. If you could count the number of negative thoughts that have gone by your brain, you couldn't count. I mean, they're uncountable, innumerable, let's say. And so what we need is we need to amass innumerable positive circumstances and positive thoughts. By sharing these kinds of thoughts with your friends and family, you're then anchoring it in your own body and you're talking about it again, and so we're saying positive things again, and it's helping to anchor it into your mind so that the thoughts that just naturally spring out of your mind, some of them will be these positive thoughts because we've been talking about how it works. And it makes it easier in those kinds of circumstances when somebody's jumping on you to remember to be the observer of self and to go, not really to remember, but to have that just naturally arise out of your brain because you've gone there so many times that it becomes part of the structure of the brain. Ah, yes, being the observer of self. And it's one of the reasons why people meditate, because when you meditate, you're quieting the brain and you're quieting the personality. You're having relief from that relentless mind chatter that brings up those negative thoughts or worry thoughts or anxiety thoughts or, well, what about this and what's going to happen with that? And there's so many different forms, you can't possibly enumerate them all. So I had a very interesting thing happen for me the other day. I received a letter from someone who I love, who's part of my life, who has, let's say they have anger issues, this person. And this letter was a very, very angry letter. And at first when I opened the letter, I could feel my whole body contracted. I mean, the anger was so strong that I could feel like my whole body, like I was getting punched in the stomach, it felt like. And because I'm very sensitive to that sort of thing. And most people are, they just have sort of dulled their acknowledgement to themselves that they feel like that. So energetically you'll feel like that, but you may not realize it consciously. So that was my first thing. And then as I read the letter, I began to realize that this person had never really learned a healthy way to express their love. And here they were yelling at me in the letter and calling me names. I mean, it's like, what? Calling me names? Are we adults or are we children? What's going on? And I finally, there was so much anger and so many names in the letter that it turned from me taking it personally to kind of funny in a certain sense. And then I was able to not take it personally. And I mean, it was almost like a caricature of an angry letter. And then I realized that this person was really expressing their love for me in this anger. They just didn't know another way to do it, having not had a healthy model. And so many of us have not had healthy models. I mean, I've been a suppressed anger person my whole life, so I can't say that my way of expressing anger is any better because I don't really have one. I don't really know how to express my anger. Of course, I'm learning. I am learning. And so it's not about right or wrong. This person wasn't right or wrong, and I'm not right or wrong. So being the observer of self is just staying present with what is. And because I kept staying present and present and present, and I didn't go into, I mean, I started off by taking it personally, but then I was able to, by staying present with what was going on with myself, I was able to let that go and really feel the love that was underneath all that anger. And it turned into really a positive experience, and it was so crazy. And I don't really know what that person made of it when I wrote them back that I was taking that as a love letter. So very interesting experience. And, you know, it's another, just another demonstration of how when you stay present with things, they turn around. It's like magic. They just turn around. Without the outer circumstance changing in any way, that letter stayed exactly the same. What changed was the color of the glasses that I was looking through. My filter changed. So first I was looking through personality-colored glasses, and I was taking it personally. And then that fell away, and I was looking through glasses with from my deeper self. That somehow magically, and I say magically, the only reason why is because I'm constantly talking about this with my friends and with my clients. And so, again, I encourage you to constantly be calling yourself to the mat, to be the observer of self, and to arrange with your friends to encourage each other to be the observer of your own selves. When it looks like something in your life is happening because of something somebody else did, when it looks like you're having emotions come up because of something that somebody else did, being the observer of yourself, and you go, what is really going on here? What's really going on? Well, underneath, there's something that's been triggered. Something's been triggered. Well, what's been triggered? Well, some place of pain inside you. So each of us is just responding from our own pain. When we don't know how to express our anger, either express it too hard or don't express it at all, it's coming from our own pain. So just staying present with that pain, and then it opens to you in some way. It just sort of falls away. It's like you don't have to change it in any way. You don't have to fix it. It just kind of falls away on its own. It's just amazing. It's amazing to see the way the universe works. But we haven't been taught, and so we make our lives so much harder for ourselves than they need to be by taking everything personally. So, you know, here's another example. I was listening to an Alison Armstrong CD, and I've talked about her before because I just think she's fabulous. And she talks about, she's done a study of men, and in the process, for 17 years, I think she said, so in the process of studying men, she also studied women. And what I realized in listening to her CDs is that what she's really talking about, she talks about cavemen and cavewomen sort of inside all of us that operates underneath what we think of. And I realized that what she's really saying is she's talking about an archetype, the archetypes of masculine and feminine thoughts, behaviors, expectations that are operating underneath at a subconscious level. And again, we're not at all aware of them because they're in the black hole. So here we are with our 5% of our conscious mind. And, you know, I have a certain identity. My identity, you know, doesn't really include the kinds of things that she's talking about. And yet when she starts to talk about them, I feel like some part of me can relate and I feel more feminine. Because I normally feel pretty androgynous. I've got a pretty strong masculine part to myself. And I realized that at some point when I was a child, I looked around me and I said, oh, the men have all the power. So I encouraged the masculine side of myself. And now I'm finding that there's such a strength in the feminine side that I haven't been accessing because I've been concentrating on the masculine side. We want to be whole beings. We don't want to be heavier on one side than the other side. We want to be able to access the masculine or the feminine side at the drop of a hat. So personality keeps us lined up with one or the other. When we let go of needing to have a personality, so we have a personality, but we don't have to be attached to our personality. We don't have to defend our personality. We don't have to prove our personality by constantly going into the rut of our personality over and over again. Oh, I'm this way. Oh, I'm that way. You don't have to say those things or think those things or feel those things. So my partner David was sitting at the computer, and I can't even remember anymore what I asked him a question of. And he had just turned on the computer, and I could see that he had moved into this archetypical masculine mode that Allison would talk about. And the masculine mode is to focus. So when I'm in my personality, taking things personally, I would go, what's wrong with him? Why can't he answer my questions and turn on the computer at the same time? Just rocket science? I would have had a judgment. I would have been mean and judgmental in my mind about it. But having listened to her CD, I went, he's just doing the masculine thing. He's focusing on turning on the computer. Because women, the feminine way is to be able to multitask. And she talks a lot about this. So to me, instead of taking it personally, I was going, okay, I expected him to be able to hear me because I come from a view of my colored glasses are that anybody can multitask, but he's masculine, and so his view is he's got to focus on getting the computer on, and then he could listen to me. So it completely defused the situation because the color of my glasses had shifted from having listened to Allison and tuning into these archetypes and seeing how I was identifying with my feminine archetype of being able to multitask, and he was identifying with the masculine archetype of focusing, and just to let it go at that. It didn't have any significance. It didn't mean he was ignoring me. I didn't need to be pissed about it, you know. It was so funny how it had no charge at all because I immediately went into that place. So the color of my glasses had shifted. And it was very exciting to me to see it at work. So at this point, I want to just sort of slow down. I've been talking for half an hour, and I want to give anybody who might have questions or comments a chance to call in if you'd like to. Oh, I see. Actually, there's somebody right here has called in. If you have any questions, you can press 1 on your phone. And that will, I'm not sure if it makes a difference if it's on the handset or the base. And you can ask a question or make a comment if you have a relevant story or whatever. And I will call on you if I see your hand comes up. For people who want to call in, the number is 347-324-3264. And I want to remind you, I am a channel, and so when you ask questions, I channel the information, and the show gets much livelier and lots of fun when the information comes through. So please do call if you have any questions, 347-324-3264. And alternatively, you can post a question in the chat room if you have any, and I can go back and see those. So I don't see any questions, so I will tell more stories. And I'm thinking, again, of more examples of how people, you know, are seeing through their own colored glasses. And I'm thinking of a client that I had, and she was telling me a story about someone in her life. And she was saying, all that person does is want to take. All they do is want to take. And what I realized is that this client, that's been one of her major issues, that she spends a lot of time taking in her own life. But she doesn't see it. She doesn't see it. She also gives, but her predominant form is often to be in take mode. And because she's looking through those glasses, she then thinking that she's giving, she's not seeing where she's taking. Because she's identified, she has this personality that she's identified herself as that she gives, even though, as I perceive her from the outside, I see a lot of taking going on. So then she looks at this other person. She goes, well, all that person wants to do is take. And so what we're seeing is we're seeing ourselves in the other person. So anytime we have these judgments about other people, there's always something like that going on, that either we're seeing a reflection of our own selves or we're seeing some part of ourselves that's been hidden from ourselves that we haven't seen before. What's really going on? So that's that question to ask ourselves. So if we see somebody having a behavior we don't like, you go, what's really going on? And then you stay present with yourself and see what arises, what answer might arise. What is it? What goes on inside me? So how do you find out? You just be very present with yourself. You be the observer of self, and you ask the question. And then you just wait. What's going on? Probably talked about this before in other shows. It's so important. I can't talk about this enough. And to keep telling myself as well in my own life. What's really going on? So now I want to ask people to just take a moment and think of somebody or some situation in your own life that maybe is a difficult moment for you, a difficult person or a difficult moment. Give you a minute to think about that. What's been going on in your life? What's been pulling at you? What's been pulling at your attention? A person or an event or a situation? What's been pulling at you? And now just drop down inside your own self. Just sit quietly with your own self. Feel the heaviness of your body. Feel your feet. And look and see what filter might be on your own glasses. What filter might you be looking through that it looks to you in the way that it looks? So it might look a different way to somebody else. Just like with this other client, I could see her taking in a way that she can't see. So we want to ask ourselves, this is not to make her wrong at all, because we all take and we all give, and sometimes we do one more than the other, so not at all about making anybody wrong. But to ask ourselves, what filter might I be looking through that this situation feels negative to me in the way that it does, or looks that way? What might I not be seeing? What is another way that I could look, that somebody might look, maybe I can't look at it any other way, because to me, it looks this way. But what's another way that somebody else who doesn't have my background, who doesn't have my black hole, my subconscious, they have their own subconscious. What might they think when they look at it? So take a moment and just sit with that. I'm going to be quiet for a minute here. But I can't be quiet for too long because I'm on the radio show. So looking at what is your filter that particular person, event, or situation looks to you the way it looks. Looking and seeing if anything opens up to you as a result of being present around it. What's your filter? And how might it look to someone else? So I'm looking at my own situation here. When I try to think of how it might look to somebody else, right away I go, yeah, but they're wrong. Because I have the right way to look at it. So So see if that goes on for you. That's what goes on for me. But again, I'm not taking it seriously because I know that that's where my mind goes. That's just what it does. How might somebody else look at that? And I see somebody, oh, maybe this is a Skype line, very strange phone number, 1111111111. Okay, I'm going to call on you, who's maybe a Skype number. I'm gonna click on you. Here. Hi, you're online.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay,
what's your name?
My name's Joe.
Joe, thank you for calling in.
Hey, no problem. I'm taking a look at your description, and it seems as though you're covering the whole spectrum of holistic type of teachings, alternative health practitioners, sound healers, meditation teachers, etc. How powerful is this type of spirituality or holistic or however you want to term it? How powerful is that?
Well, here's what I can tell you. If you tune into the shows and follow them along, your life will change. Without you needing to do anything besides for the practices that we do on the shows, that's what I can tell you, because it's changed for me. I know it changes for my clients. It's like just by doing these practices. So by coming together and learning to be the observer of yourself, as I've been speaking of in this show, the life will change. So when I have a guest on, I ask that person as well to address how does their particular modality enable somebody to stay more centered, more tuned in with their own divine center in the face of the challenges of life.
Okay, so what's the purpose of it? What is it? What kind of transformation is supposed to be the goal?
Well, the goal is that it makes your life smoother. Things unfold. It's things that you've been wanting, even at levels that you're not aware of wanting them, without you needing to start controlling things wildly. Like, we're always trying to pull the puppet strings on life, so we think that we have a better idea of how our life should unfold than all of creation, because all of creation is what's constantly at work in our lives, and it's constantly bringing to us that which is perfect for our unfoldment. But what happens is that we feel that we need to control it to get what we want. That's our misguided belief. And so we actually put up obstacles in the way of life flowing toward us.
Well, how would this help, let's say, a couple or a married couple who are having problems and they're on the brink of divorce? So how would this help them?
So how would it help? Because in what I've been talking about today, about the filter, when we take things personally, we look at the other person and we think that the reason there's a problem in our life is because the other person is not enough this or too much that. And if only they would be this way or that way or do this or do that, then our lives or our relationship would work better. But that's how it looks to the mind, and it really does look that way. And our society in general will support that view, which makes it difficult to move beyond it. And that's why we listen to shows like this show. So the truth of the matter is, and I say it's the truth because I've seen it in practice, and you could just try it out and see if it works for you. The truth of the matter is that when you see that the other person is really just a reflection of some part of yourself, and really they're kind of like you on the outside. So here's how I like to talk about it. It's as if you've reached inside yourself and this person and pulled them out and put them on the outside. And it makes it so that you can see yourself better. So they are playing out some part of yourself.
So how would that be applied to a married couple when the man finds out that his wife is cheating?
Ah. Yes, yeah, so when a man finds out that a wife is cheating, or when a wife finds out that a husband is cheating, the truth of the matter will be that the person who feels that they're the victim is actually also has pulled away from the relationship. So the other person is playing out what's going on energetically underneath. So say, for instance, I don't know if this is true in your relationship, but say, for instance, you had a wife who was cheating on you.
Mm-hmm.
That would mean that energetically you had already pulled away, and she's just playing out this part of yourself. She's saying, I'm pulling away from the relationship, showing you that you have already pulled away from the relationship. There are no victims. There are only people reflecting each other back and forth. But sometimes we create it in such a way that it looks like we're the victim or they're the victim, and the different ways that we like to play out our role. Imagine it like this. Imagine that you have hired this other person to play out that role in your life, to show you this part of yourself that you can't see, because your mind is telling you, well, I'm the one who's here in the relationship. I'm the one who's committed. And yet there's this part of yourself that's not committed that you can't see.
So in other words, you're saying if my wife cheats on me, it's because somehow I've done something to make her feel that she should withdraw, and consequently, it's okay for her to cheat.
This is not about okay, because it's not about right or wrong.
Okay,
this
is
about.
Let's say her reaction to it is that she wants to cheat. So,
what
was it that I may have done that may have given her the type of go-ahead for her to go to do that?
So, she's showing you this part of yourself. So it seems like there's a wife out there cheating,
mm-hmm.
but there's really Joe out there cheating. Like Joe has done inside himself, there's a place where he has pulled away, but he can't see it. So it's like it's always both parties doing it, but we make it so that it looks like one person's doing it. And then we get to make them wrong, and then that makes us feel right. And I'm not saying that that's right or wrong. That's just how it works to be a human. And so when we talk about being conscious, what we're saying is learning to be the observer of yourself so that you can keep your consciousness on that white-hot point of fire where you can look at yourself and see these parts of ourselves that we don't want to see. We're sweeping them on the rug, and we're putting them out there in the form of other human beings because we don't want to see that part of ourselves. It's so much easier to say, she's wrong, she cheated, than it is to say, you know what, there's part of myself that doesn't really want to be in this relationship. There's part of me that doesn't know how to be in a relationship. There's part of me that doesn't know how to love. That's true for all of us. We all have these...
I doubt that. The thing is that what you're saying is that if a person does something, it's automatically a result of he or her bouncing off somebody else's deficiencies. And that may be true in some cases, but from what you're describing, if a wife cheats, therefore the husband has had to have something significantly wrong or significant deficiency within himself to make that wife feel, I'm going to go cheat. I don't buy that.
So you're calling it a deficiency, and that's a trigger word.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you get to notice, just so be the observer of yourself.
Right.
Notice how you feel right.
Right.
So anytime that you feel right and you feel that the other person is wrong,
right,
something bigger, deeper going on. So you can continue to feel right and not look deeper and deeper. Now, granted, it's very difficult to learn how to look as the mind will, society will agree with you. And here's something else. Every time society will agree with you. The more society will agree with you, the deeper the wounding I find that's underneath. And the more we're needing to feel right because we're covering up that wounding.
Well,
like,
there's appropriate behavior and there's inappropriate behavior. Let's say, for example, my wife is feeling that I'm not loving her enough. And she feels as a result that she can get it someplace else. No. If she wants more loving, maybe there's something wrong with me, but she has to confront me with it. She can't go out and just cheat.
So every time you say she, mm-hmm. you're going to come up against a brick wall and you're going to end up feeling right. So if you want to find the truth of what's going on underneath in the subconscious, the part that's hidden from you, see, all what you're doing is you're saying the part that you already know. And that's the part that the personality is telling you where you're right. If you want to know what's going on underneath, you have to use words like I. You can't use words like she. So you have to find where your pain is. So the only reason you would draw that into your life, so rather than saying that she's going out in response to what to anything, the only reason you would draw that circumstance into your life is because there's a wounding underneath not being resolved. That is the only reason I've ever seen for that. So you have a choice. You can keep saying that she's wrong and I'm right, which society will agree with. Everybody will agree with you about that except like me. And then you can keep having relationships with that don't work, where that kind of thing will happen. Or you can be willing to give up your position of being right and having society agree with you in order to get to what is that pain that's underneath.
Okay, so then what does she have to do? She just has to
so
do what?
Your job is not to find out what she has to do. Your job is to clear you. When you clear you, your outside events will magically fall into place. So either she will totally, wish that she hadn't done that and come back or whatever, or you'll find out that that wasn't the right relationship for you anyway. You see, it's like the events that come to you in your life are always a perfect match to who you are inside, deep inside. And always there's this choice of, do I want to be right or do I want to have a life that's full of love and happiness and joy? But we're not taught how to get off. It's like our society encourages us to be right and make the other person wrong, and so it's a very
okay.
Difficult.
Let's get away from right and wrong. What would a man have to do in order to ensure that his wife wouldn't cheat?
He has to be willing to be present in a relationship, fullness of his being, and really want that at the subconscious level as well as the conscious level.
And how would that manifest itself?
By having a wife that doesn't cheat.
No. What would he have to do?
Oh, what would he have to do?
Yeah.
You don't have to do. You have to be.
Okay, how would he be?
You would, at your subconscious level, so this is something that's very difficult to talk about, because at subconscious level, there are energies that are running your life that you can't have any way of seeing or knowing.
All right, but let's go to the subconscious level. What would a person have to be or to do in order to be, as you're saying, in a relationship that
okay.
would make the other person not cheat?
Okay. Think of the subconscious level as a black hole.
Okay.
The only way you can see what's in there is by looking at the events in your life. If you have a wife who cheated, then you can know that there's something in you that didn't want that relationship.
Would that be the same if a husband cheats?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So again, going into the subconscious realm, what would a person...
Well, for instance, when I'm working with somebody in a session,
right.
we go down into theta. And when we go into theta, then we can access the subconscious. But you by yourself, it's very difficult. We can't really access the subconscious by ourselves. And that's why I teach people to this black hole thing, that you can tell what's going on by looking at the events of your life. It's the only way you can tell what's going on in your subconscious.
So what kind of events then in the past, I guess is what you're talking about, would bring a person to the kind of subconscious level that would not make him be in that relationship?
Yes. So there was something perceived at an earlier time in your life. There was a decision that was made that made being in relationship feel unsafe. So whether it was by observing your parents' relationships or whether it was by something that happened in another relationship, whatever it was, there was some decision that was made at some very deep level that it's not safe to be in relationship. And so anyway, because your conscious mind says it's good to be in relationship and I want to be in relationship, the only way we can then get out of relationship is to have it be the other person who leaves. And then we get to be right. Come on.
Okay, let's get away from the right and wrong, since that's not what you want to
but
discuss.
But that's what's on.
But the subconscious, again, is what you're focusing on. So let's say the subconscious is feeling not safe. How would that manifest itself in a man or a woman that would endanger the relationship?
So it doesn't have to even show up as something you could see. Like you could say, well, the man rolls his eyeballs when the woman talks, you know, he's not being respectful or whatever.
Right.
It doesn't even have to show up like that. It cannot show up in anything that you can put your finger on, but underneath there's an energy that you can't even see that is running the show. So what we see with our conscious mind is not what's running the show. So you know what? I have 4 minutes left here, and I'm going to have to end the show.
Okay.
And I wish that you'd been able to call in earlier so that we could have spent more time on this. But, you know, I am available for private sessions if you'd like. I do phone work. And you can call in on another show because often the topics are interchangeable. So you could call in next week with whatever we're talking about unless I have a guest.
All right.
So, and maybe a guest would also be able to address this.
All right.
Okay,
so
please communicate with me again, because this is a big one, because we are not taught how to get off our position. We're taught how to be angry with people when they do things and not how to see our unconscious part in it.
Well,
that's why I'm doing this show. I'm trying to help people to understand that it's the subconscious, the 95% of us that is subconscious, that is running our lives.
Okay.
Hey, well, thank you so much for calling in.
All right. Take care, then.
Okay. Bye. So thank you, everyone, for calling in. And I'm so happy to have had this opportunity to talk to you. And I'm so happy that Joe called in, because so many people have this very same issue that Joe's talking about. He's not the only one out there, men and women. A lot of them feel exactly as he was speaking. And so I hope that it became clearer, although it might not have been clear, because it can take a lot of work to get to the bottom of how do I find, there is a wounding underneath and inside me that I didn't know was there, that's keeping me from having the relationship and the life that I want. So again, thanks for tuning in. I'll be back here again. And I don't know if I'll have a guest next week or not, but you know, I hope that you'll tune in, because in any case, we'll have wonderful things to talk about. And hopefully by then I'll be able to let you know when my open house is. And for anybody who's local here in Marin County, California, you can come and meet me in person. I would be so happy to meet you. So thanks so much. And if you'd like to go to my website, it's www.spiritualism.com. And I hope you'll check it out. And I'm in the process of making a new one, but the old one still works really well. So long. Thanks again. Hope to talk to you next week. Bye.
Your dream should never part. That's where the magic comes from. Deep down, deep in the heart of your heart, see the